Welcome to church, friends. If I haven't met you yet, like I mentioned, my name is Chris, and my wife Angela and I are the lead pastors here at Beloved, and we are so glad that you chose to join us tonight, being in the house of God. Like, I don't know about you, but to me, there's no place like being home, and this is what I call home. I like going home to my house and sticking up my feet on the coffee table, but man, I'd rather be in the presence of God any day. Is there anybody that believes alongside me that, man, I want to be? There's no place like being in the home, and it's home to multiple generations and people from all walks of life and backgrounds and cultures and demographics, some who grew up in faith and some who are new to faith, some who left faith and coming back to faith, some still exploring what does faith even look like and whose is Jesus. Like, this is God's great church. Do you believe with me tonight? Yeah, here we are gathered to worship Jesus as our forgiver and our leader, and gathered to serve one another just like Jesus teaches us to serve one another, and gathered to be encouraged and to be equipped and to grow up into our faith. Is there anyone in the room that says, I want to mature in my faith tonight? I'll put both my hands up because I know I still want to mature in my faith thing. Gathered to be encouraged, right? So here's what we can do so that we can all return to our weeks and our homes and our jobs, our schools, our families, our playgrounds, ready to make a difference in a world that truly needs hope and healing. I know some of you know some people in your life that need some hope and healing. You're like, girl, you need some hope, all right? You need some healing too, right? I know every one of you know somebody, and some of you in this room, you might like, that's me, actually. I need some hope restored in my life. I need some healing in my life, and I'm with you right there. I want all that I have that God has for me, and so we are just so glad that you are here, and we welcome you, and are you still glad to be here tonight?
Yeah.
All right. Just put your hands together for Jesus just one more time. He is great. He is awesome. And you know, he really loves you, by the way, just in case you were second guessing that tonight. Jesus absolutely loves you. You were made in the image of God. You were created and fashioned by him, for him, and he's got good purposes for your life, and he wants to do great things in you and through you. Is that okay? All right, so December is already here, first day of December. Welcome, December. This year has gone by so fast. For me, and maybe it has for you too. For some, maybe this year it's been a year where you've been dragging your knuckles on the ground, and I get it. And you're glad it's almost over, and you're ready for a fresh start and a do-over in 2025. I'm with you in that. I'm behind you, girl. Let's go. But I also want you to invite you, like I mentioned, to participate in our year-end house offering December 22nd. It's just really a time of celebration and a time of sacrifice, and the two coming together in a supernatural convergence. Is what we're believing for. And here's what's going on. And what I love about Beloved City Church is we are building what you'd call a modern day ark. Anyone know what Noah's Ark is? Ever heard of that? Noah's Ark, right? Some of you played with the toys, saw the videos, whatever it might be, maybe even read in the Bible. But I believe God has called us at Beloved City Church to build an ark. Because why? Because an end is coming, friends, and we still got room for people to be saved, to find Jesus, to find some hope and healing. So I just encourage you, just partner with us in this year's end of year financial. Sow some seeds. Seed in your hand stays a seed. But when you sow a seed and you plant a seed, that becomes a crop. And that's what's amazing. I don't know if you have any farmers in the room, but when you plant one seed, it becomes a plant that puts a plethora, a multitude of seeds. It's amazing. Like one corn of grain of corn makes this like bunch of corn, and there's a whole bunch of more seeds of corn. Like, it's beautiful. What you and I get to do when we plant and seed that, what God has given us, back into what God has called us to do. So would you just help me with that this year? And let's see what God will do, something great in 2025. Open your Bibles for me, friends. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll have it up for you on the screen tonight. I'm going to preach. Hey, we're kicking off a new series. I'm so excited. Yeah. Oh, man, I love it. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians, though, 9 and 10, I just want to give you this real quick, that God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. And in the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. That's amazing. I love it. We get to be generous. We are a church that intentionally pursues living in generosity. And so I'm excited for you to partner with us in that. So let's launch into week one of our new teaching series, though, called The Missing Piece. How many of you here in the room have ever tried to do like one of those old school things called puzzles? Anyone?
Yeah.
A couple of you? Some of you young people are like, I've never seen a puzzle in my life. That's okay. And it's going to be a beautiful puzzle, right? And you're almost done, and it's looking great. It almost looks like the box, right? You know, cover. And then you're like, wait, where is the last piece? Like, come on, right? You look everywhere for that last piece. You're looking on your lap. You're looking at the cat. You're about to do the Heimlich maneuver on the cat because that cat probably ate that last piece. I know you cat lovers in the room, you're like, no, don't you dare do that, right? But you're like, I want to finish this piece, this puzzle. Where is the piece, right? And maybe for you, it's not really the missing piece of the puzzle that you're really worried about, but it's the peace of mind that you've been missing. And you've been frantically looking for that peace of mind in your life, desiring and desperately needing. Like, we be so busy sometimes, don't we? Like, going about our lives, and we so often think it's something else that we need just to fill that void of that missing piece. Just another eggnog latte for you millennials out there, right? Maybe one less shift at work for you Generation Xers, right? Or for some, one more shift at work for those Gen Zs in the room. Like, I just need some money in the bank account, right? Like, and maybe for some of you, you're like, oh man, I just need to work so I can finally pay off that bill, or maybe so I can go on another vacation. Maybe for some of you, maybe you've been in your head a lot lately, and I've been there too, and many in this room could say the same thing. And you're worried about, you know, if you're going to get that career that you've been dreaming of and applying for and going to that school that you've been asking God to help you open up some doors, whatever, preparing for something great in your life. Maybe it's to find a spouse or whatever it might be, the relationship of your dreams. I love this pink and blue, by the way. That's awesome. This relationship for your dreams, right? Or maybe fixing up the nightmare of a relationship that you're still in. Hey, girl, I got it, right? Like, this is the things that we worry about sometimes, right? And so often we think what we want, though, is different than what we actually want, right? Sometimes we think what we want is actually different than what we really want, and actually what we really need. And here's my big question for you. Like, I wonder what you would wish for if you had one more wish to make in life. If you could wish for anything, some of your minds are already going to all kinds of things, you know, like, oh, Black Friday was just around the corner, you know, Cyber Monday's, oh, there's so many things that I could buy. There's so many things I could have. And if that one wish could come true, what would you wish for? I know some of you pretty well. I know some of you would wish for some more money. Like, yeah, I'd like a lot of money, PC. Like, which, hey, it's not a bad wish, right? I mean, with a lot of money, you can really help a lot of people. You can be really, really generous in your life, make a difference in the world around you. And you can also enjoy the blessings. And money often buys time and buys options. Not bad, right? But we also know that money doesn't buy happiness. We've also probably have experienced that. And some of the most miserable people I know are the people with the most money that I know, right? So it's not the worst wish, but it's also not the best wish. And I know some of you in the room, you're like, I wish I had a spouse. You're too shy to put it up your hand. I wish I was married, a husband, a wife. Does anybody here wish they were married tonight? Yeah. Raise your hands just for a minute. This is Christian Mingle, by the way. Raise your hands if you're single. This is the new Christian Mingle. There's no swiping here. Just take a look around you and see, like, who's single in the room. I see some of you too shy to put up your hand. You're just pretending you're already married. Okay, I get it. You never know, right? Could be a little divine connection tonight. Not a bad wish. It's a pretty good wish, actually. And it's a blessing to have a spouse. Some people might say, well, I would wish for beauty. I would wish for happiness, or maybe for health, or for fame, like the blue check mark that you didn't have to purchase, you know, like you got it by, not by accident, but, or some of you might get real smart about it, and you might actually wish for more wishes. Like, that's pretty smart. That's probably what Briggs would do if he was in here. I would wish for another wish, actually, right? Like, just one ain't enough. But I want to show you something today from the NT, the New Testament, that is incredibly beautiful to me. It's the Christmas season that we're entering into here. It's Advent starts today. And when the angels came to announce the birth of Christ, anybody remember what the angels said? The angel said, I have it here, Luke 2:13 says, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. So suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth. Say that with me. Peace on earth. Nudge your neighbor and say it again. Peace on earth. Nudge your second choice and say, hey, there's still peace. There's still peace for you too. And the angel says, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. What's interesting is when Jesus would talk to people and greet them in their coming or in their going, he would often say, peace be with you. Or after something would happen, even something traumatic, he would say, now go in peace. You know, these are the words of Jesus. And maybe for some, when you think about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament as well, the church planter that we hear about every once in a while, he often said this in his writings to the church. He would start a letter and he would say, grace and what? Grace and peace be with you. What's so interesting to me is to think about that. He said, grace and peace. Think about all the other options that Paul could have said. Like, he could have said anything in his greetings. He would, like, today he would have been like, yo, what's up, fam? Right? That's probably what Paul would have said. He would have said, you know, have grace and popularity, because that's really important to us today, right? Because a lot of people want popularity and to be known. And he could have said grace and power, because, like, girl, no, we all want some power in this world, right? Or he could have said grace and riches. He, you know, grace and TikTok fame, maybe, that fancy dance you've been working on. Nobody likes it anyways, but it's still getting popular. Who cares, right? But what, you know, there's different things that we would want to hear today that Paul didn't say. What do you really, don't you, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Right, you Spice Girls fans, come on. Oh man, what you really, really want is peace, actually. So what you really want or need is peace. What the world wants is peace. Real peace, though, peace that the world, you know, even us sometimes barely even understand, or I would even say don't understand, a peace from heaven, a divine peace that only God can actually give. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but you can have money in the bank, but no peace in your heart, no peace in your soul. Like, you have little rest for your soul, right? You can be successful on the outside. You're working hard. You've got things to show for what you've accomplished, right? But incredibly empty up on the inside of you. You can be married but not have peace in your home, by the way, right? And don't say amen right now, because, at least not real, because you want to have peace when you get home too, right? So, but you can be married but not have peace in the home, right? So, and I truly believe what a lot of people want in their lives, and they don't even know that they actually want it, is a peace that only comes from God. But what so many of us have is not peace in our lives. We actually have the opposite. We've got tension in our lives, don't we? Right? And a lot of us, we're afraid and we're experiencing anxiety, and we're really, really anxious about our future, anxious about our current situations. And when you think about your relationship with your family and your friends, what do you want? You want peace in those relationships, don't you? You want harmony. You want understanding, right? You want so often we have the opposite of that. We have misunderstanding quite often, don't we? We have disagreements in our homes quite often. We have hurt feelings. We have bitterness sometimes. We actually sometimes even experience unforgiveness in our lives. But yet what so many people really want and really, really, really need is peace in life. Peace is the missing piece. And so this is what I want to teach us about for the next few weeks, the next few Sundays. And the title of today is, peace of mind really possible? Have you ever asked yourself that or thought about that? Is it really possible for me to have peace of mind in a world that's so hurried and so rushed and so pressured? Is it possible? And I want to show you from God's word that it actually is. And then I want you to invite you to pray with me today as we prepare. So Father, thank you for every person in this room, God. Here at Beloved City Church, and for every person listening in online, God, there are people present who have had a very complicated year, have had a very complicated last quarter, God, and still in it, have experienced pain and loss and tension and tears. And God, we just ask you, as we cast our cares on you tonight and pray to you tonight, that you would open up the windows of heaven in this place, and that you would continue to pour out a peace upon your people that goes beyond our human ability to understand. God, in the next few moments, may your word and your spirit bring comfort tonight. May we experience your peace in the presence of God, the peace of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen, amen. So what I want to do today is I want to show you a portion of one of my favorite scriptures from the OT, the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah in the 26th chapter. I'll give you a little context of Isaiah 26. In a season much like today, filled with fear and anxiety and unsettledness, the prophet Isaiah prophesies or foretells of a day of unbridled worship, filled with peace and passion and praise for the goodness of God. And he says this in Isaiah 26 and verse 1. He said, in that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong, and we're surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous and allow the faithful to enter. Then he says this in verse 3. He says, you will keep in perfect peace. Somebody say perfect peace. Say that again. Have you ever heard of perfect peace? Like, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in the Lord. For all of those who have their thoughts fixed on him, he says, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock, the eternal foundation. Like, what a promise. And I love it, and I want this promise for my life. I don't know about you, but this is the promises I want in my household, and I needed you. We kept in perfect peace, the peace of God that comes from heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm way from, more familiar in my life with imperfect peace, imperfect peace, or inconsistent peace. Like, it's peaceful Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's like me and my wife, we on opposite sides of the couch sometimes. Like, imperfect peace sometimes. Maybe it's in my soul too, right? And we got to work through some stuff. I'm just being honest to you, because this preacher doesn't want to be honest. I'm not some clergy that has it all figured out, right? Like, it's you and I. We're going to figure this out together. And we got God's word, and we got his spirit, and we got Jesus, and we're going to walk this out together. Is that okay? So we can have peace in one moment even, and then even pray a prayer to God and trust God with something for our future and hand this burden off to God in our morning prayer and be fine for about 3 minutes. And then suddenly I'm kind of like, God, why haven't you done what I asked you to do? God, where are you? Right? That's 3 hours later now. Do you even love me anymore? That's by the end of the day, right? You some days too? I know some of you. You're going to be honest with me tonight? Come on. Like, I could be just having a moment of just joy, pure joy and tranquility and sense the presence of God like never before, and moments later be overcome with a sense of anxiety and dread and fear and personal insecurity in my life. I'm way more familiar with inconsistent peace or imperfect peace in my life. And yet God promises something called perfect peace. So then what is perfect peace? I want to know more about this, right? Now, see, listen, the word peace in the Old Testament comes from a really rich Hebrew word. It's the word shalom. And it's actually a Jewish greeting. But in the both coming and the going, some might say to you, shalom. And you're like, we say, yo, they say shalom, right? And this word means way more than just peace. It actually means wholeness. It means completeness. It's actually the fullness of peace. It's peace in every way. It's the complete and perfect peace. It's peace with God. In other words, there's never this internal sense of fear or dread of where do I actually stand with God? And have I done something to think that, you know, that he wouldn't love me anymore? Have I gone too far? Is my shame too great for God? See, it's peace with God. It's perfect. It's complete. And it's also peace with other people. Never a worry of where do we stand or why, you know, are we bitter at each other, or it's peace with yourself even. See, sometimes you wrestle with things in your life where you're not even at peace with yourself. See, that dark spot in your past that you're so ashamed of, the thing that you did today on the way to church that you wish you hadn't done or that you thought you had, it's peace with yourself. I'm okay. I'm good with God. It's even peace with your circumstances. We're good. We're good with God. Even when your circumstances aren't what you'd ever dreamed of them to be or ever wanted them to be, it's shalom. It's complete. It's whole peace from God. And what's so interesting to me is the original Hebrew text in Isaiah, it says this. I'm going to tell you exactly what it says. It says, you will be kept in shalom, shalom. The word shalom actually appears twice, and this is an emphatic statement in the Hebrew language. It's saying you get a double portion of peace. Like that yoga and that meditation and that self-care, like having some fun doing your stuff, but and the holidays, they can never give you. It's a rested soul kind of peace that goes beyond our human ability to understand or to make happen on our own strength, our own ability. Now, I just want to be really, 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 really clear about this, because so many people get frustrated with God and his church because it ain't happening the way I want, God. See, peace does not mean that you won't have trouble in this world. Jesus was really clear about this when he says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Who thought they were opted out of that promise? Just checking. Because often that's how we live, right? That's what he says. In this world, you're going to have trouble. And it doesn't mean you won't have problems. It doesn't mean that nothing's ever going to break. It doesn't mean that your kids are ever going to get, you know, they're never going to get in a fight on the way to church or whatever it might be, right? It doesn't mean that your spouse isn't going to get on your nerves. Like, I get on Pastor Angela's nerves all the time, especially when I unload the dishes and I put them in the wrong place and then she's confused and trying to find them. And what I thought was the right place, it was a really great place, I thought. And you're thinking right now, well, at least you unloaded the dishwasher. Which is exactly what I thought, by the way. But I'm not going to bring that up right now because I want to have perfect peace when I get home. All right? Pastor Angela's out of the room anyways. Oh, man. Get myself in trouble here. Peace doesn't mean you're not going to have a difficult time in your life. What is shalom, shalom? The perfect peace of God. So write this down. I want you to write this down because I want you to put it in your craw, whatever that means. I want you to take it home and I want you to learn it. I want you to chew on this, right? We need to understand, I think I have a slide for us as well, that peace isn't found in the absence of problems, but peace is found in the presence of God. I need you to like take a picture if you have to, because you really got to get this in your system and in your heart for this next few weeks. Peace is not found in the absence of problems, because quite often that's where we go. Now I have no problems in life. Woo, peace of God, right? But peace is actually found in the presence of God, not in the absence of problems. It's shalom, shalom. Peace is actually God's presence. It's God's perspective. It's God's assurance in our life. Even when life is anything but what you want it to be. And some of you right now, you might want to push back just a little bit. Yeah, PC, your perfect little life and blah, blah, blah. You might say, my marriage sucks right now. And where's peace in that? And my body is wrecked right now. And where's peace in that? Like I'm trying to hold it together financially and Christmas is coming up and the bills are stacking. Where's the peace in that? I've got a child struggling right now on, you know, drugs or pornography or whatever it is. Where's peace in that? I'm scared to death with good reason. Many of you in this room would probably feel similar to that. And if that has been you, you are asking the really, really good question of how do I experience the shalom, shalom of God? And that's a really good question. I love it. Thanks for asking that question, by the way. I love it when you ask hard questions. And I want to show you in scripture how to experience that kind of peace. Because like for many of us in the room, it's actually the missing piece in our life. The P-I-E-C-E. And here's where we start. We need to understand. Here's one for you too. Write this down. The battle for peace, it actually begins in our mind. Like there's a war going up between your ears, right? And how many of you say there's a war going on in your mind? There's a mind all the time, right? And I can know the truth of God, but then my mind wanders off into all sorts of untruths and lies. And even better yet, I can believe wholeheartedly the truth and the promises of God for you. But sometimes I doubt them when they come to me. Because there's a war going on in my mind, and what God says is what my mind tends to wrongly believe. The battle for peace begins in your minds. And that's what I want to show you, two different versions of this powerful truth. And the first one's out of Isaiah 26:3, which we just looked. Let's look again. And I like how the NLT version, the New Living Translation, says, "You will keep in perfect peace all those whose thoughts are fixed on God." See, they're fixed on the truth of God, my thoughts. They're focused on God. They're fixated on him. And the NIV says it this way, the New International, the nearly inspired version, I think it's actually called. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast. Now, notice what Isaiah doesn't say. You have perfect peace if your thoughts are fixed on him. He doesn't say you'll have perfect peace when your mind is fixed on your neighbor. And what they are doing or not doing, fixed on the news and who's doing what around the world or in your city, fixed on YouTube and the algorithms that you have, you know, you've got going on, you know, fixed on Snapchat or whatever you snap in, TikTok, whatever it is, fixed on whatever political situation that you might be like, this is crazy. It doesn't say you're going to have perfect peace when your mind is fixed on the future. It doesn't say you're going to have perfect peace whenever your mind is fixed on your financial problems, even, or the lack of finances in your life, or even your health problems. It doesn't say you're going to have perfect peace when your mind is focused on the bad news from your doctor. Like, we've been there. Am I talking to anybody in this house tonight? No, you will have perfect peace when your mind is fixed and focused on the truth of God. In fact, I like the Hebrew word that's translated as fixed. It's the word samak, and the word means to lean on completely. So when you're fixed on God, your mind's fixed, you are leaning on him completely in your life. It means to fully rest oneself on God. It's like the John the Beloved who rested his head on the bosom of Christ. We're fully rested in him. Fully dependent on him. So many of us lean on so many other things that we were never meant to lean on. Because God designed you to rest your head on him. He's big. He's strong. Remember one of our teamables, anyone here in the room has been on our team for any time at all, teamables, the third one is that God is able. Is there anyone on the team here tonight that says, I believe that God is able in your life? Say it with me, God is able. Say it like you believe it. One more time. God is able. Oh man, God is so able. And you could literally translate this verse, you will have perfect peace when you lean completely on, when your mind is resting on God's promises. This is perfect peace. Perfect peace is when your thoughts are resting on God's unfailing promises in your life. And my question for you is this: what's your mind been fixated on lately? Like for real, write a couple of those things down because you already know what they are. Write them down. What's my mind been fixed on? Some of you are fixed on all kinds of things. Write three of them down right now if you can. Like for real, what's your mind fixed on? I'm trying to help somebody tonight. I want you to walk away with some practical tips and I want you to take this and put this into action. Is that okay? You could literally, that's what we want to do, right? You will have perfect peace when you lean completely on, when your mind is resting on God's promises. This is perfect peace. Perfect peace is when you are actually resting on God's unfailing promises. Like for some, what are we fixated? We're fixated on all kinds of things. You know, like we're fixated on our finances. We're fixated on that girl at the gym. And maybe we got another sermon for that. It's a sermon on lust, by the way. Just so you know, I'm just kidding. But some of you are fixated on yesterday's problems. You're fixated on the relationship issues that you're having. You're fixated on, you know, the marks. Maybe you're not getting the marks you want at school. And school, the semester's coming to a close. You're like, man, your mind's fixed. Our minds are on so many things, our health issues, whatever it might be. We have, our minds are being consumed. Our mind and thoughts are being consumed by so many other things but God. And some of you might say, maybe financial worries consume your mind. Some might say political division is consuming your mind and your Facebook feed, right? Or it might be fears of illnesses that consume your mind. It may be your mind is consumed with what's going on in the world right now, what's going wrong, or what could go wrong in the world right now with all these wars and stuff going on and people, it's so much conflict and or what you don't like or what you dread or that annoying, you know, person that keeps texting you like 30 times a day about all their problems. Like just send a TTYL. I think the millennials invented that one. Talk to you later. Like LOL, by the way. Those millennials. What about this one? R-O-F-L. Rolf. Ruffle? Roll on the floor laughing. I don't know. It's silly stuff. Like, girl, I have my own life to live, right? I'll talk to you later. And then mute the convo and get back to getting your mind on Jesus. Because your mind is fixated on something else and is worrying you. And I want you just to be set free in Jesus' name tonight from having to people please, by the way, because some of you get caught up in people pleasing and you need some freedom from that tonight. What do? You'll be kept in perfect peace, those whose minds are fixed on God. And the scripture says this, Paul, the apostle in the NT again, so powerful in Philippians 4 and verses 8 to 9. Paul says this to the church, and we can learn from this tonight. He says, fix your thoughts, not on whatever creates fear, not on what gives you anxiety, not on the bad news of this world, but fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. What do? Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And when your mind is fixed on God, when your mind is fixed on what's true in God, when your mind is fixed on what is admirable and worthy of praise, then the God of what? Then the God of peace will be with you. See, we so often want God to do all this for us, and we don't think we have anything to do in it because we've been told that, you know, we're not saved by works or whatever. And you're not saved by works. You're saved by faith, by the way. But you've got something to do here with your mind. You got to fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure. Then the God of peace will be with you. Then the God of peace will be with you. When is the God of peace with you? When your mind is fixed on him. What do I tell myself? My God is good. He is always good. There is nothing greater than my God. There is nothing better than being in his presence with his great church. His promises are true and his word never fails. Who is God? When I'm lost, he's my guide. When I'm weak, he's my strength. When I'm hurting, he's my comforter. When I'm sick, he's my healer. Like, you gotta fix your mind on God, girl. Come on, I'm just having a small praise break there. But I want to praise him because he's so good and I can fix my mind on him. And guess what? He is the God of my peace and he's going to be with me through whatever I'm walking through. So ask yourself this question. Like Paul asks this again in Romans 8 and 35. Who shall separate me from the love of God in Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? We can modernize Romans 8 and say this, or relational tension, or loneliness, or singleness, or anxiety, or loss, or marriage problems, or depression, or fear. You can add in whatever you want in there, honey, because we've got all kinds of stuff going on in the room. But no, in all these things, what are we? We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. I'm convinced with everything in my mind, completely convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons nor height nor depth nor anything in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. See, when my mind is fixed on him and when my mind is fixed on his goodness, he offers me his shalom, shalom. His perfect peace. It's the perfect peace of God that the world will not understand. And they're looking in and they so desperately want what you have. But we're still caught up in doing things like the world instead of fixing our mind on Jesus. Fixing our mind on the author and the finisher of my faith. The perfecter of my faith, right? I'm excited, Tony. Is that okay? Good. All these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ. My mind is fixed on him. And I'm still learning how to do this, friends. I'm not there yet. So I'm fixing my mind on Jesus. I'm fixing my mind on him and his goodness and his grace. It's the perfect peace of God that the world will not know, because it's the peace the world can't find, by the way, if they're not looking into Jesus Christ himself. So if you know anybody who's looking for peace, point them to Jesus. Be a signpost in their life. This way to Jesus, right? Convinced. This is what Jesus said in John 14 and 27. And so powerful that he said this. He says, peace I leave with you. And then he says something I don't want you to miss. He says, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. And because I give you my peace, he says, so do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Peace I leave with you. And he's like, okay, it's actually my peace that I give you. My peace. He's not giving you a peace. He's giving you his peace. And peace is not found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of the living God. There's a powerful story in the New Testament when the disciples were out on a boat and a big storm blew up. I think Dan mentioned it in our huddle team huddle tonight too. And listen, some of you are in a storm right now. And you're worried for your life, you're worried for your relationship, you're worried for your finances, you're worried for your situation. But I really need you to get this. The storm was so massive, the disciples were literally afraid for, have you ever been afraid for your life? Afraid for your life. They were afraid for their lives. Like, what's going to happen? We're going to die out here at sea. We're going to drown. I'm going to lose everything. It's all so, so bad. OMG, this is bad. And they did what many of us would do, right? They started freaking out. Ah! And what was Jesus doing? Do you remember the story? Jesus back at the boat, sleeping, having a little nap. He had a little too much eggnog lattes, I guess, before church. And he's having a nap in the back of the boat. Like, sometimes that's how we feel like God's in our lives. Like, ah! Jesus, what the heck are you doing sleeping in my boat? He's taking a nap. And what's interesting to me is there were really two storms on that day. Two storms, which is kind of interesting. There was the one that was visible to the naked eye, like the thunder and the lightning, the wind, the waves, you know, 30-foot high waves or whatever that could be. That's the visible eye, to the visible storm. And then there was a second storm. Can you imagine with me? That was the storm, not on the outside, but the storm that was going up on the inside of their lives, up in the inside of their hearts and their minds. And I don't know how it is for you, but so many times the storms on my inside is way harder to manage than the storms on the outside of my life. Right? I can look fine to you on the outside, but the storm on the inside sometimes is consumed with fear, anxiety, and doubt, and worry. It was a storm on the inside that led the disciples to cry out, Jesus, don't you even care? Like, we're going to die. Right? And some of you right now in this room, it's the storm on the inside of you that's bringing about your doubts, that's bringing about your fears, that's bringing about your anxieties. And you're like, God, are you even there? Like, did you even notice that I'm walking through? Did you know what she said about me? Did you notice, God, I just got fired from this job? And that's like, I don't know where I'm going to go, whatever it might be. And God, are you there? I even prayed and I cried out and I'm waiting and I'm looking and I don't see you. You're just there taking a nap. Jesus, can you imagine? He probably like wakes up, oof, you know, cracks when it stretches. In the middle of a storm, and with the power of God declares, peace be still. Listen, You can't give what you don't have. You can't even speak into existence what you don't have. And some of you need to receive from God tonight, like Jesus, who is peace, who gives you his peace, who is shalom, shalom. And you can be kept in perfect peace when your mind is fixated on him, on Jesus. Can I be really honest with you today? I try to be that in every moment, but I'm going to be a little bit more honest tonight. I know this truth and I have believed this truth, but have not always experienced the perfect peace of God that passes all understanding. But this year and most recently, I found God's word to be absolutely and completely true, that his perfect peace is available even amidst the most difficult circumstances that I've walked through over the last few years, that I've been on a pretty intense journey of my own to train my mind with God's truths. And I've been really incredibly intentional because my mind honestly needs it and needed it. And so it's a daily routine that I and Angela can tell you as well. She'll tell you, he's training. And so you remember we talked about a few series back, stop trying, start training. I took that to heart, just so you know. He's training, and I'm training, and it's actually making a difference in my life. I'm training my mind how to think. I'm training my soul how to react in situations that might be upsetting typically in my life. Here's what I've learned. I've learned to start out first thing in the day, really simple, to open your YouVersion Bible app. You get it on your phone if you have a phone or a paper Bible at home, and to get my mind in the Word of God and to stay out of Facebook, to stay out of Instagram, to stay out of my text messages. That's why if you text me early in the morning, typically I'm not going to respond until 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning because I want to have my mind on Jesus first. Not in your problems, that's for sure, but I'll get there, right? So I want to fix my mind on God. Let God renew my mind and direct my thoughts today. It's being very, very intentional. I encourage someone to do something like this. And then as the day goes on, I'm not proud to tell you this, but sometimes and oftentimes my first thoughts are really negative in the morning. Meaning there'll be like a day like today is going to be a difficult day. I've got some hard things to go through. I've got some difficult conversations. I've got to meet with some people, whatever it is. My gosh, this is so difficult. And my thoughts will often start on the negative side. It's raining out again, whatever it might be, right? I might dwell on the negative things. And so what I have to do is I have to actually capture those negative thoughts. And what scripture says, I need to capture them, get a hold of them, and to make them obedient to Christ. And the best way to do that is first off to see the words and the heartbeat of Christ in his word. Like I get into his word and with force and intentionality, I capture these negative and these intrusive thoughts and I replace them with truth in my life. And say things like, no, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. No, God is blessing me in my coming and in my going. No, my heart is filled with love toward people. And no matter how they might treat me, I'm always going to be a blessing in return to them. And so I capture those thoughts and I replace them with the truth of God. And then at the end of the day, I offer up thanksgiving to God for the things that he's actually helped me to overcome in that day and to find victory in for where I saw God working in my life and I saw his hand in my life and I'm grateful for it. And even in the middle of the day when it's chaotic and it's painful and it's disappointing, I can always find something to be grateful for. And so what I'm doing, and this is what I'm encouraging you, is to be renewing your mind. And sometimes when things are really chaotic, I just got to stop and I got to give God some praise. Because, you know, guys, you are amazing, God. You are so good. And I got some crazy old school song going through my head. And it's just me and Jesus for a moment. I don't care if I'm look crazy. I am crazy. It doesn't matter. Because I'm fixating my mind on God. I'm fixing my mind on God. See, you know, it's really easy to praise God when things are going good in your life, when things are well. Right? It's really easy to praise God when things are going your way. But hear me out. Real praise is when you can thank him even when you're in the middle of a storm. That's the kind of praise the devil hates, by the way. That's the kind of praise that makes demons flee in your life. And some of you here, you know, praising God in church, and I love it, and you've got your issues, you've got health issues, you've got financial issues, you've got marriage issues, and you've been working on these things to restore and to renew, and some of you are still fighting through addictions, and yet you are here in the room bringing a sacrifice of praise as an offering unto God. And yes, why? Because he's good and he's deserving. It's not really all about me in the first place, right? He is able all the time, and he's always on time, and he's all that I need. See, when you're in the middle of the storm, that's the kind of praise you need. You're all I need, God. You are good. You are able. You are perfect. You're mighty. You're strong. I come to you, Jesus, because I need you. And so more often than not, we just ought to get up out of our mind rut and give God some praise, right? And begin to worship him. And I tell you, you will experience an open heaven over your circumstance. And that's why it's so important to be in the house of God. So many people go, you know, on an entire 7 days without praise and worship in their life. And we come into house and we're like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm so beat. And it's good because we get to be refreshed and renewed and revitalized and restored. But when you miss Sunday, you're going a whole other 2 weeks, girl. Like, come on. Like, ah. I know you'd be praising Jesus when you get a raise, but for the most part, many of you don't live like I'm encouraging you in this moment. I want to help you. And God's helping me in this. And you need to be in worship. You need to be in the house. You need a prophetic word over you. You need a family around you, lifting you up, encouraging you. And I want to be worshiping and praising Jesus with the people that I love. And I know he loved me. Heaven opens up. No matter the storm I'm going through, I ain't going to let it stop me from receiving all that God has for me. And tonight, it's the shalom, shalom, the perfect peace that has entered the room, has entered my heart, and we get to experience a peace that is beyond our ability to ever explain fully. He is our perfect peace. It's a perfect peace, friends. It's the goodness of God. So if you're going through a loss at this time in your life, hurts, pains, fears, I pray this word over you from Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. I pray this would minister to your hearts as they have to mine too many times to count. When Paul has said this from a Roman prison, by the way, awaiting execution. The Apostle Paul says, do not be anxious about any. Can you imagine being on death row and writing to your friends? Do not be anxious, my friends, about anything. Whatever it is that's weighing you down, whatever it is that's gripping and squeezing the life out of your heart, don't be anxious about that. But in every situation, this is a great big old but in the Bible. And I like big buts like it's in the Bible, by the way. But in every situation, when there are babies being born and when the person's going home, when the doctor's news is good or when the doctor's news is bad, when the bank account's high or low, the bank account's empty, when your marriage is on a high or on the rocks, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, like we're talking about with real praise, by the way, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's beautiful. I hope this is answering some of your questions tonight about the missing peace in your life. It's the peace of God. So you see, it's the peace of God. It's not the peace of this world. It's not the peace of having more money in the bank. I know we all think that's going to solve our problems. And another holiday, it's not the peace when everything's going the way you want it to. It's the peace of God. In other words, the world can't give it to you. You ain't going to get it from the world. But here's the other good thing. The world can't take it away. Because nobody can pluck me out of the hand of my living God. Oh man, presence of God. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to be a people that's pursuing the presence of God, because this presence of God is the peace of God. He's with you now. So what do? We cast our cares on him because he cares for you. And he's with us in the room. And maybe this word is for you tonight. And he's a gift like no other gift. Peace on earth. Peace be with you. Peace, grace. It's peace from heaven. And tonight, friends, it's available for shalom, shalom. May God's peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds and your souls. Father, all around the room, let's pray. Father, we ask for that peace from heaven. We ask for that peace from heaven, Jesus. All around the room today, those of you who need some area, this peace of God that we talked about, and I want you to be honest. I've been honest with you tonight. I believe the Holy Spirit's been honest with you tonight. So I'm just going to ask you with heads bowed, eyes closed, just to be honest with God. If there's a place in your life where you need some peace from God, I want to pray for you. So would you just let me know that's you by slipping up your hand tonight? Wow, God. Thanks, Jesus. Hands all around the room, Jesus. I need his peace. I need his peace. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for my church fam. God, even now that they would experience from you what only comes from you, peace in the middle of fear, peace in the middle of doubt, peace in the middle of anxiety, peace in the middle of the storm, Peace in the middle of loss. Peace in the middle of sickness and frustrations. God, because you're good, we trust in you. And God, we say we thank you. We thank you, God, that even through Jesus, even though Jesus said, in this world we'll have trouble, we can still rejoice and take heart because you have overcome this world. You have overcome. And this world is not all that we have. We know, God, with you in heaven, one day there'll be no more tears, no more crying, no more brokenness, no more pain, and no more sickness. There will be shalom, shalom, the very peace, the perfect peace of God. Now, God, may your peace guard every heart and every mind in this room who raised their hands to say, God, I need your peace. May we experience your goodness now all across this room as we pray.